Proverbs chapter 4. If you will look at verse 23 with me tonight, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Christianity is a faith that is centered around the heart, the very core of who a person is, the very soul of the person. When we speak of salvation, we speak of being saved in the inward man, or the heart being redeemed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the Old Testament figure of the prophets, and in salvation, we have a heart surgery, God taking out the heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh. God transforming the heart from a heart that did not love Him or fear Him, have a desire to obey Him, to a heart that willfully and joyfully submits to His word and will. And when we speak of Christianity and walking with the Lord, we speak of the purifying of the heart, the serving the Lord Jesus from the heart, the worshiping from the heart, the loving of the heart. And God commands that we ought to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus tells us in the New Testament that out of the heart comes the actions of man. Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds all sorts of things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the wisdom here found in Proverbs is very helpful for us to understand and apply to our life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The words here is words of warring and fighting. He is calling on Christians to watch over the heart, the very core of who you are, because who you are will determine what you do. Guard your affections, guard your mind, guard your attitudes, because these things will flow out into the life's actions. I've titled the message tonight, "The Cure for the Cold Heart," because there are times in our walk with God where our heart grows cold. There are times in which we merely go through the motions of Christianity in a lifeless manner. There are times that we find ourselves like the prophet Elijah, after Elijah was threatened and he was told by Jezebel that he is a dead man, that he is no longer going to serve the Lord because his days are numbered. But there are times like Elijah when we are threatened by the circumstances of the world and we just wish to throw in the towel and be done with it all. There are times that we are like the Apostle Peter and we deny the Lord Jesus Christ and we go back to fishing, so to speak, and we relapse into our spiritual despondency. There are times that we act or have moments like Asaph in Psalm 73, when Asaph got his eyes off of the Lord and looked upon the people of this world. And Asaph began to question the ways of God, his heart growing cold. There are times in which we are like Job and we start listening to the critical words of others and we wonder if God is really in control and that if He is really working all things for our good and His glory. There are times that we can truly relate to the hymn writer where we sing, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." We come into the worship of God and we sing these songs, but our heart is not aflame. We hear the preaching of God's word, but then as soon as we leave, we have no desire to do with that which has been preached. There are times in which our heart grows cold. And the wisdom here of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 is something that we need to hold on very tightly to. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Be ferocious. Be active in guarding the affections of your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. But the question I want to answer tonight is, what do we do when we find ourselves in this spiritual coldness? How can we escape when we fall into the ditch of spiritual deadness? How can we warm our hearts when our hearts seem to be dead? Let me give you 7 helpful steps to implement as we seek to keep our hearts with all diligence. God does not want our hearts to grow cold as we worship and serve Him. God would have our hearts set aflame. But unfortunately, there are times and instances where our hearts do grow cold because we battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the world, the flesh, and the devil seek to do one thing. They seek to extinguish any flames of fire that we have for the Lord. And there are times where circumstances come into our life and we don't desire our hearts to be cold. We want to serve the Lord and worship Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the circumstances of life drag us down and cause us to move forward in a cold manner. So how then can we warm our hearts so that we worship God in a manner that is acceptable? Let me give you 7 things. The first thing that we must implement when we feel our hearts growing cold, when we feel that we are straying from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is this: passionate prayer. If we find our hearts growing cold toward the things of God, we find our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ growing distant, how can we fix it? What steps should we take in securing that tight-knit relationship once again? We must pray passionately. If you will, look at Psalm 77, verses 1 through 15. We have the account of Asaph, and we find his heart growing cold. And we love the Scripture so much because the Scriptures are so transparent. Now we see men in their weaknesses. God, the Holy Spirit, has recorded the manness of men, the humanness of humans. They were not spiritually perfect beings. They had their struggles. And praise God that He has recorded these things for our benefit. Asaph cries in Psalm 77, verse 1, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of Thy work and talk of Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared Thy strength among the people. Thou hast with Thine arm redeemed Thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." Selah. Here we find Asaph struggling. He is not comforted. He is troubled. He is overwhelmed. And what do we find him doing? He is crying out to God with his voice. And this is more than just repetitious words. When we say we must pray, we do not mean repeating phrases. We do not mean a heartless, cold prayer that has no life. As we look at the Psalms, we see that these are instances of men pouring out their hearts to God. And this is what true prayer is. True prayer is passionate. True prayer is fiery, and true prayer is honest. When we look at Asaph here, and we look at David, and all the psalmists in the book of Psalms, we see that these were men pouring their heart before the throne of grace. And they were honest before God. They were honest about their struggles. They were honest about their failures. And when we find ourselves cold, we must pray in such a way. Do we ever find ourselves praying, Lord, I don't feel like going to church this morning. Please help me. Change my heart and my attitude because this is devilish. Lord, I don't feel like loving my spouse, especially after what they have said and done to me. Lord, I am very impatient with my children. Please help me so I can be a godly parent. Lord, that coworker, that neighbor is getting under my skin. Lord, help me so I can maintain a positive Christian testimony. Did you know it is perfectly fine to pray and be honest in such a way? God already knows our hearts and minds. We might as well pray in an honest manner. There are times that we are failing spiritually. We don't feel like going to the Word of God. We don't feel like praying. We don't feel like coming to the prayer meetings. We don't feel like serving the Lord through the evangelistic outreach. And in those times, we must cry out like Peter, Lord, save me. And when we honestly, fervently, passionately pray to the Lord reaches out His hand and grabs His erring child and brings them unto themselves. What is the first step in warming our heart when it is cold? The first step is passionate prayer. But then we move on to the next step. And the next step that we find in the Bible is riveted reading. When our hearts grow cold, there must be riveted reading. And these words are chosen for a specific reading. I did not say we must merely read the Bible, but we must read the Bible in a passionate manner. There must be riveted reading, engrossed reading, immersed reading. The kind of reading Job describes when he says, I have esteemed the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. The kind of reading that the psalmists cry out and they say, I would rather have the word of God more than the gold and the treasures of the earth. We need to soak our souls often with the word of God. And we read the Bible not for intellectual learning. We read the Bible to commune with God. We read the Bible not merely for our education, but for our transformation. When we find our hearts cold, we must sit at the fireplace of God's Word until we find our hearts warmed. And part of the problem when we do, quote, devotions, is that we do not sit long enough waiting for the Spirit to speak to our heart. And I know this because I experience it often. There are times in which I sit down with the Word of God and I can pass by verse after verse, chapter and after chapter, and I can sit down for many minutes, and then after I'm done, my heart is still the same. After I'm done reading, I ask myself, what did I get out of it? I read two chapters, hooray. But what did God move my heart to do? What did God move my heart to do? To be. And that's where we need to read the Bible and search it out so much so that it works in our heart and conforms us into the image of Christ. And this is where meditation comes in. And not merely reading the Word of God, but meditating upon it, thinking over it. Then the word meditating comes from the cow chewing on the cud. And as we come to the Word of God, we must meditate upon it day and night. We must think over it. We must call it to our attention often. And this will warm our hearts. See, this is more than just a casual reading. This is more than just checking off the box. Yes, I did my daily devotions for the day. This is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus because she wants to know him. And I would say many Christians do not have a strong relationship with God's word. Many Christians read devotionals, and devotionals are helpful. Many Christians listen to audio sermons and sermons on the television, and those things are helpful. Many Christians listen to the podcast, and those things are helpful. But as far as a riveted reading of the scriptures, I'm afraid in most lives there's a great disconnect from the Bible in such a way. And if we want our hearts to grow warm in worship for the Lord, there must be a riveted reading. How can we know spiritual success? Joshua tells us, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When the prophet Jeremiah was downcast and dispirited, how was his heart warmed? Jeremiah tells us, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And when I ate them, they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And Jeremiah preached with very little results. Jeremiah preached in the midst of great persecution. And Jeremiah was a man of like passions as we are. He found himself cold and discouraged, but he turned to the word of God. He remembered the faithfulness of the Lord recorded through scripture. And these things were the joy and the rejoicing of his heart, so he could move forward and press on for the Savior. Do you remember the two on the Emmaus Road? Downcast, discouraged. The Savior had come, they thought. The Messiah had come, they thought. But where was he? With their heads down and their hearts cold, they walked and walked. And not knowing it was the Lord appears to them. And how does the Lord encourage them? How does the Lord give them the spiritual heartburn? By expounding the scriptures. Whence the Lord leaves these two men and say, did not our heart burn by the way? We were down and depressed and sad and glooming. But this man who came to us opened our understanding. And he preached to us the living word of God. And through that our hearts burned in worship and praise for God. It teaches us, again, when we have cold hearts, there must be riveted reading. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And this word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Our heart will remain cold if our hearts and mind is focused on anything other than God. And Isaiah tells us, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. What are we to think upon? If we are to be joyful Christians, we are to think upon that which is holy and good and just and pure. And we have such things recorded in the Word of God. So we want our hearts to be passionate and fireful for the Lord. There must be passionate prayer. There must be riveted reading. And then there must be sincere submission. So we search our hearts when our hearts are fading, when our hearts are cold. Are we praying as we ought to? Truly praying. Not bedtime prayers, quick 2-minute prayers. Not mealtime prayers, but truly praying. Have we distanced ourselves from the world? And have we poured out our heart to God? Have we turned off the phone? Have we turned off the TV? Have we escaped, perhaps, to just be alone with God? And then have we truly given ourselves to search the scriptures and to find the Lord Jesus Christ and to remind ourselves of his love for us? And then we ask ourselves, are we sincerely submitting to God and his will? Is there true submission to the scriptures without pretense, without putting on a fake mask, without putting on a show to impress others. And I say sincere submission because it is possible to go through the Christian life and to think that we are obeying God when we are not. We remember King Saul. He was given a command to destroy all the Amalekites. And King Saul's heart grew cold. And he thought he was doing the will of God. But he did not do the will of the Lord completely. His heart was cold because he was not submitting to the will of God sincerely. And if we open up the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 1, we read the same thing of Israel. God calls the nation of Israel out for their hypocrisy, and they say, "What's wrong? We're sacrificing to you as you want us to do." And God says, "Yes, you may be doing all these things externally, but your heart is not right with me, and therefore your sacrifices are nauseating." There must be sincere, genuine, wholehearted submission to the Word of God if we want our hearts to remain on fire for the Lord. We must say with the Apostle Paul, "What do you want me to do? Lord, I want to do your will." The Bible says, Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And what he does prospers because it's sincere, because it is biblical. And Jonah's cold heartedness came from his insincere submission. Jonah was given a command. He ran. Jonah was disciplined. He did what God wanted him to do. God accomplished great things, but where do we find Jonah after the great revival in Nineveh? Pouting. Pity party. Full of self. He had an insincere submission to the Lord. He obeyed, but he was not joyful in it. Our hearts grow cold when we obey, but we don't delight in our obedience. We're not joyful in doing the work of the Lord. We're just merely going through the motions. What can we do when we find our hearts cold? We can pray passionately. We can read the scriptures fervently. We can submit to the will of God sincerely. And then there must be candid confession. Candid confession. There are times that we fall into sin, and sin robs us of our joy. Sin robs us of our hope. Sin robs us of our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn from the spiritually cold condition of the church in Laodicea what Jesus expects of us if we want to find a way out of this coldness. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. And Jesus says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and do what? And repent. Jesus is telling the church that they have fallen from their first love, that they have strayed spiritually. But is there a way back? Is there a pathway back to serving God zealously as they once did before? And the answer is yes, and it is through the door of repentance. And we see this clearly in Psalm 51, when David has committed his great sin of adultery with Bathsheba, there is candid confession. David doesn't excuse himself like the Pharisees. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart." David knew that God knew his heart. And knowing that God knew his heart, knowing that he was guilty, David takes the blame fully and says, "Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Restore unto me," going back to prayer, "the joy of thy salvation. Make me to hear gladness once again." There's candid confession. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs that those who cover their sins will not prosper, but those who confess and forsake shall have mercy. And David finds mercy because he candidly confesses that he has done wrong and his wrong has separated him from God. So when our hearts grow cold, we must examine ourselves and see, is there something that I've done to offend God? Is it my walk with the Lord? Is it something I've done toward my brother and sister in Christ? We examine ourselves because we want to walk in a manner that is worthy. We want to make our calling and election sure. We want to walk in a way that is pleasing before Him. We confess our pride. We confess our lust. We confess our bitterness. We confess our covetousness. And when we confess, oh, the weight of sin falls. The blood of Jesus washes us of all sin, and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is restored. You see, sin is like a fire extinguisher seeking to put out any flames for God. Disobedience cools our affections for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we want to move out of this spiritual coldness, if we want to worship and serve the Lord as we ought, there must be candid confession. But then there's a fifth point. If we want to move out of the ditch of spiritual coldness, there must be fervent faith. And for the example here, I direct your attention to Psalm 42, verses 3 through 11. Psalm 42, verses 3 through 11. The psalmist says, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He's persecuted. This is distressing. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me." He's praying. "For I had gone out with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." Verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Oh my God, he's honest, he's sincere. He's not seeking to put on a mask. "My soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. And deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Look down again, verse 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? My heart is cold. For some reason I am falling and failing. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? I feel so distant from the Lord. What can I do? Is there any hope for me?" Yes, look at the next four words. "Hope thou in God." What do we find here? We find fervent faith. And this hope is not a hope so. It's a no so. The psalmist knows that God is going to come to his aid and assistance. We need fervent faith if we want to escape coldness of heart. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, not leaning on our understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledging Him, knowing that He shall direct our paths. The 10 spies, their pessimistic outlook stirred the nation to grow cold. They came back with a bad report. The land is filled with giants. There's no way that we can be victorious. And what happened? The people cried out. They grew discouraged and cold. There were only two who had fervent faith. And those two who had fervent faith had a heart that was on fire for the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, the Bible says that David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. There's an anxiety. There's a spiritual coldness. Lord, I'm doing your will. I'm trying my best. And everybody wants me dead. And what does the Bible say? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't give us the specific details of how he did this, but we can guess that David did this by calling to mind the scriptures that he knew and by resting in the character of God revealed in those scriptures, by praying those scriptures back to God and having fervent faith that God will accomplish his purposes though there are persecutions surrounding him. Church, doubts and fears cool the heart and they hurt our worship, don't they? When our focus is so wrapped up in tomorrow and we allow tomorrow to grip our hearts today that we don't serve the Lord as we should, in those times we need to pray, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus told us the cure in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry about tomorrow. God takes care of the birds of the air, the foxes of the field. He takes care of the flowers. Why are you so fearful, doubtful, ye of little faith? We don't have to worry about tomorrow because God's already there. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. So we must have fervent faith. And then we see point number 6. There must be reverent rejoicing. Sometimes we miss this. And I can tell you, this is probably the part that I fail in most when I find my heart cold. Reverent rejoicing. That is the singing of songs. When we find ourselves spiritually distant and spiritually cold, what should we do? Sing! God has given us the blessing of singing and lifting up our voice to the Lord. And in our singing, we're reminding ourselves of the greatness of God, that God is great and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. It's no wonder Paul told the church in Ephesus and the church in Colossae to speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He knew that if they were to be active in joining their hearts in praise, that they would be on fire in their devotion for the Lord. And the one who teaches this truth, Paul, is the one who practices the truth. Remember Acts chapter 16. Where is the Apostle Paul? Around verse number 30. He is locked up in a jail cell. The Philippian jail. Why is he there? Did he steal a car? I mean a chariot? Did he commit some great crime? No. He was faithfully preaching the word of God. And now he's suffering persecution for righteousness' sake. But Jesus says he's blessed for doing so. And what does Paul do? Does he soak and sour and grow cold? No, he can't. There are people to serve. There are people to minister. Even there in the jail cell, he doesn't have time to grow cold. He needs to get himself out of this coldness or any temptation to fall in the coldness. So what does he do? He sings praises to God at midnight. Most people sleep at midnight, by the way. Well, I'm not just going to soak and sour and just fall asleep and just hope for the best. No, I need to be active in fighting the flesh and the world and the devil. And I want others to know, yes, even in these, quote, bad circumstances, that God is good. So let's praise the Lord. And no wonder Paul says to the church in Philippi, writing the epistle of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It is said of Luther that when he had been most slandered, when the Pope had launched out a new bull, and when the kings of the earth had threatened him fiercely, Luther would gather his friends and come and say, come, let us sing a psalm and spite the devil. He would sing the most psalms when the world roared the most. God has ordained good music, godly music, to warm our hearts, to touch our affections. And that's why I thought it beneficial to sing a few extra songs to remind ourselves of heaven. To remind ourselves God is in control. He knows the future. We can face uncertain day because He lives. We find our hearts cold. What should we do? What steps should we take? What should we implement? Passionate prayer, riveted reading, sincere submission, candid confession, fervent faith, reverent rejoicing. And if still we find our hearts cold toward the Lord, there's a seventh and final, most important aspect we must examine. And that is earnest examination. If we have gone through these steps sincerely and honestly, and we still go through a long season of spiritual coldness and distance, we have no affection for God. We come to church and it's dead and dry. We open the scriptures and it's dead and dry. We have no desire to do the will of God. We're resisting. How can our hearts be warmed? It can't if we are without Jesus Christ. So there must be earnest examination. If you've prayed for years, you remain in the same condition. You've read the Bible for years and the Bible seems so dull. It could be that you have a religion and not a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you truly take these steps and find your heart cold, it may be that your need is salvation. You still need to be born again. And Paul told the church in Corinth, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith or not. There was a spiritual coldness in the church at large. The people were acting like unbelievers. They professed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, but they were living in sin. So what does Paul tell them? Paul tells them, you may be cold and dead spiritually because you are dead spiritually. Repent and believe the gospel. Examine yourselves, because the true Christian faith is a faith that falls back, but the Lord brings them back to Himself. And so the one that is truly in Christ knows that he who has begun a good work in them will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And this was Nicodemus's problem, wasn't it? He was very, very religious, but his heart was spiritually cold. He knew the word of God appear. He fooled others. He was a teacher in Israel. But his heart was like stone. And so he comes to Jesus by night. His heart ice cold. And then as Christ opens the scriptures and explains the way of salvation, he comes to a saving faith in Christ. He comes to know the way, the truth, and the life. His need was salvation. The same was true with Saul of Tarsus, one who was ice cold, who thought he was zealous. He was zealous, but his heart was cold and distant with God. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He crossed every T. He dotted every I. He did all these things in the name of the Lord. He prayed. He fasted. He gave. He went through the religious motions. But what was the state of his heart? Dead. Dead. Until the Lord awakened him on the road to Damascus. And that's why Paul is so honest and transparent with the way he preaches, because he went through the religious motions. He knows that there are many who sit in the pews who proclaim to be on fire for the Lord, but they're dead. So that's the final exhortation. Now go back to our text. We're almost done. Proverbs 4. Verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It is most likely King Solomon who wrote this. If we look at the testimony of King Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 1 through 10, we find that God used King Solomon in a great and mighty way. King Solomon asks the Lord for one thing. God gives him requests. Ask of me anything you want. And Solomon says, I would have a discerning mind. I would have wisdom. God blesses him and says, Solomon, I am going to give what you ask, because you did not ask for fame or for riches. You did not ask for things to consume them upon your lust. You asked for that which will help God's people at large. Solomon was faithful in building the house of the Lord. Solomon saw the revelation of God not once but twice. Solomon was used in writing many of the Proverbs. He was an esteemed man, one who feared God, until we get to 1 Kings chapter 11. And the Bible says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. But it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem and before Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Why, Solomon, why is our question. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for after it are the issues of life. I'll tell you how he ended up to this place. There was a temptation. And rather than implementing these steps, prayer, reading of Scripture, praising God, honest confession, repentance towards the Lord, he moved closer to sin. Step closer to sin, his heart was growing colder. He still knew the way to worship the Lord in the right spirit, but he refused the steps that would lead back to God. And so he took another step away. And he took another step away. And he took another step away until his heart became calloused. How are the mighty fallen? This is a warning to us, church. Sometimes we think, well, that will never happen to me. We look around the pews and we know of those who are no longer in church and we say, well, that'll never happen to me. We know of those who once sang specials for the Lord. They were in the choir. They taught a Sunday school class and now they're headlong in the world. Sometimes we say, that'll never happen to me. That'll never happen to my children. We must be careful in guarding our hearts, keeping the castle with all diligence. There's no time to grow lazy in this fight. Fight, fight, fight. The devil does not quit. We must not quit. The devil wants to destroy our heart. We must keep our heart. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you know our hearts and our thoughts afar off. We cannot hide from you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. Prone to leave the God we love. Take our heart, O Lord, take and seal it. Unite our heart to fear your name. We confess that often, Lord, we have times of spiritual coldness and we put on a show before men. Please help us. We cry with Peter, Lord, save us. We're falling and we don't want to fall. And if we've been a Christian for many years, we can look back at the first years of our walk with the Lord and how sweet they were. How we longed for the Word of God, how joyful we were. And yet the circumstances of life beat us up so much so that we lose our first love. Lord, bring us back to that place tonight. Help us to walk in fervent love for the Lord Jesus Christ, in fervent love for the world. Heal our calloused hearts. Heal our bitter hearts. Heal us, Lord, so that we might serve you faithfully. And the testimony of Solomon tells us that he was a man of like passions. And though he accomplished great things for the Lord, this was no safeguard. We diligently, every day, must guard our hearts lest we fall. Lord, teach us and help us. There have been far too many casualties in the battle for the Lord. And we do not want to be one. And we acknowledge only by your grace, Lord, we stand. Only by your mercy and strength can we go forward. We are nothing apart from you. Oh God, please strengthen us in the inward man. Keep our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.